Good morning. Glad you joined me again this morning. If you were with me in yesterday's broadcast, we were looking at Colossians chapter 3, and we discussed just briefly verse 18, 19, and 20, and spent most of the time on verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I'm not preaching at you. As a matter of fact, on this broadcast, I don't do what I would consider preaching. It's just kind of a low-key teaching. Now, when I say low-key, I don't mean that it's not important, but I mean I'm not screaming and spitting into the microphone and turning red and pounding the pulpit. I want this to be low-key enough so that you don't feel particularly threatened. I want it to be conversational enough so you just take the time to listen. Now, when it comes down to into what we're talking about here in verse 21, this is just good common sense. This is not preaching. This is just simply a practical application of things, both scriptural and things that are, well, I suppose you can call them common sense. They work. They're biblically sound. Yesterday I was making the point, fathers, spend time with your sons. Spend time with your sons. Survey after survey has demonstrated the fact that if a child grows up in a single-parent home, the children, both male and female, will be more emotionally secure and stable if that parent happens to be the father. Now, I realize in so many cases it's the mother who is in the home with the kids. She's the single parent. Perhaps the husband has died or has left, or for whatever reason, she's there alone with the kids. And it's very difficult. If they have a teenage boy, a lot of times mom feels like she's helpless. He's bigger than her. He doesn't obey the way out to. He takes things into his own hands, and it's very, very stressful. And if any of you ladies out there are in a situation like I'm describing, I'm sure you know all too well what I'm talking about. It's almost an impossibility for a mother, regardless of how hard she tries, to be both mother and father to kids as they're growing up. It's very difficult. And if you're in a situation like that, and especially if it's not your doing, my hat's off to you. I want these broadcasts to be practical. And if I can be of help in terms of counsel or anything like that, I would like to think that you would feel free to give me a call if you don't have anybody else that you feel comfortable with. Sometimes it's easier to talk to somebody you don't know, in which case I'll field your questions and we'll see what the Bible has to say about your situation and what to do about it. But back to what I was saying about the fathers. It is, I suppose, more quote-unquote natural for the father to spend time with the son. But please, dads, don't neglect the daughter either. If you've got girls, you need to understand how important you are to your daughters. See, to your son, you're a role model. There are things he's going to do all his life based on what he has seen you do. He will treat his wife. He will tend to treat his wife the way you treat his mother, the way he sees you treat your wife. Now, please keep in mind, that can be negative just as well as positive. If you don't treat your wife very well, then you can figure that's the way he feels like, you know, that's the way it ought to be. That's the way my dad did it. That's the way I want to do it. If a man doesn't have a lot of respect for his wife, his son will pick it up too. And by the time the boy's a teenager, or even before he's a teenager, you'll see that same sort of disrespect showing up on the part of the son toward his mother. And you can bet your bottom dollar, if he treats his mother with little respect, it'll be just as bad or worse for his wife when he gets married. So therefore, fathers, it is imperative that you treat your wife the way the Bible says you're supposed to. Not just so she'll stay happy, not just so you'll have a happier marriage, but because the next generation is watching you, your son is going to be the kind of husband he sees you be. That might not have come out the best way grammatically, but you understand what I meant. The daughters, on the other hand, they're not looking to you dads as a role model. I mean, what they are going to do, though, is it's almost hard to conceive of how it happens, but it does. Do you realize, dads, your son-in-law, you say, my little girl, she's not married. I mean, it'll be years for, yeah, I know, but you listen to what I'm saying. Your future son-in-law is either going to be as much like you as your daughter can find, or he's going to be the opposite of you. There won't be any gray area. There won't be any guessing, no thrashing around in your mind. I mean, now it's like this. Your little girl watches you and watches the way you treat mommy. If you're not patient with her, if you're not sensitive to her needs, if you are always yelling and screaming and you're always pitching a fit and the food wasn't done, it was cold, it was this, and she's never ready, and blah, 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 wasting too much money. If all she hears you do toward her mother is to criticize and badmouth and argue, I'll tell you what, your son-in-law will not be like you. Because you also are providing a role model, not so much for her to follow after, but she will use you as a yardstick to measure all the young men who come into her life. I have heard girls say to boys who want to date them, well, you know, I appreciate the offer, but, you know, I'm looking for somebody like my dad. Now, I don't know of any man who's ever accidentally overheard a conversation like that who wouldn't just swell up fit to bust with pride. My little girl thinks I'm that wonderful. Now, she may never say that to you, but at the same time, you are providing that yardstick that other young men are going to have to measure up to, or she's not going to be interested in them. On the other hand, if you're listening, you understand that can be a negative thing as well. She sees what you've been, she sees the way you've treated her mother, and she's going to go out looking for a man who's going to treat her better than you treated her mother. And you might not like what she winds up with. And if it doesn't turn out that he is Prince Charming, don't sit around and say, see, I told you so. You'll have yourself to blame for that. Because you see, if you don't give her a positive role model to go use as a standard against these boys, she's on her own. She's on her own. Somebody else will provide her with the requirements or the prerequisites for the Mr. Right in her life. And too many times it's going to be some woman's magazine, or it's going to be somebody that you really probably don't even know or have any respect for. Now, that's the best way in the world to alleviate that, is spend some time with your little girl. You ought to have a dad and me day. Sometimes you ought to do this with your boy and with your girls, just you and your kid, and you spend time with them. It might be a silly thing, but if your little girl wants to have a tea party with you, it won't kill you to sit down and hunker down in the middle of a circle of dolls and hold a little teacup in your hand and pretend like there's something in it and just spend some time with your daughter. She'll think you're the most wonderful thing that ever came down the pike. You may feel silly about it, but, Dad, that's your daughter. What kind of impact do you want to have on her? Oh, put that silliness away, I don't. And you're going to cheat her out of her childhood? Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You see, the real emphasis here is on the child's discouragement, not whether or not it's polite or courteous, or whether it has anything to do with etiquette as to whether or not you provoke your children. It is because of the impact, the negative influence that your provocation will have on them. Man, you bring them down. Don't do that. Your responsibility as a father is to build them up. Your responsibility as a father is, you say, well, I provide for them. I see to it they got food and clothes on their back and roof over the head. And if that's all you're providing, you're a failure. You're a failure. Well, I don't see how you can say that. I'm providing. Yes, you're looking at the things you can put a dollar tag on, a price tag on. And I'll be honest with you, some of the greatest heritage some of the greatest inheritance that you can leave your kids, both your boys and your daughters, will not have a price tag on it. It will not be measured in a bank account or in an auditor's book. It'll be measured in the time you spent with them. You listen to people sometimes. Listen to yourself talk about you and your dad. I remember me and my dad, we used to, and those are some of the best memories you have tucked away in your head, unless your dad was some sort of drunken sot, some foul-mouthed woman-chasing hellion. Now, you see what kind of impact that had on you? Fathers, don't let your kids get discouraged. Now, it doesn't mean they have to be happy all the time, and it doesn't mean that they won't have their share of disappointments. But disappointments and discouragements are two different things. Discouragement cuts them back. Discouragement shortens and narrows their horizons. Discouragement keeps them from stretching and growing and seeing how good they can be and how excellent they can achieve in some area. It's important to them. It ought to be important to you. Well, let's move on. He says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I've read those verses together, and not because I think we're going to have time to deal with all of them, but simply because those verses form one long sentence. Servants, obey in all things your masters. It's a curious thing. Everywhere Christianity went, slavery eventually disappeared. And yet, Christianity never pushed emancipation of slaves. It did not. The apostles did not preach on the evils of slavery. They didn't have to. There's some things that become evident. It's curious, and you'll notice it here. Servants, obey in all things your masters. Didn't it say, now servants, you lay low and wait, because your days are coming. One day you'll rise up and you'll overthrow and blah, 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 and you'll overcome. No. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Now they are your masters according to the flesh, okay? There's a spiritual side. You're obligated to God, but God says, obey in all things your masters, not with eye service as men pleasers. In other words, not just so it looks good, but in actuality, in the reality of your character, you're doing what they've told you to do. But in singleness of heart, that is, free from pretense or hypocrisy, you give it your best shot. Singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, we don't have so much this economy that's based on slavery, or for that matter, even on service, the idea of having servants in the house. But I think there's some things here, we'll need to pick this up tomorrow. There are some things that are said here that can be applied, I believe, to the relationship between an employer and an employee. Some of the worst accusations I've heard labeled or lodged against preachers, especially the bivocational kind, have to do with the way they work or don't work on the job. We'll pick this up tomorrow. It's interesting. I hope you'll join me for the next edition of The Bible Says.